Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Alpha Muhammad II. My father will be in shortly. Today on the show we have Brother Murad, and who my father famously always calls the greatest entertainer of all time. He'll be speaking today, and he has been speaking for the past couple of weeks. And he'll of course, be doing a little tag team with my father later on today. But as for right now, he'll be opening up. And without further ado, I would like to introduce Brother Murad. There you go.
Well, thank you, my beloved brother. Assalamu alaikum to my listening audience out there. It's indeed a pleasure, and I'm highly honored to be able to bring you some words of wisdom and knowledge, and to humbly say that I only repeat what I read in the Holy Quran, as well as following the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon them. We say with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the Lord of all the world. There's nothing in this world can happen without the will of God. And sometimes that we believe that when we are somewhere or doing that which is good is our mind, and that we created the thought to do so. But anything that is good is written in the womb of your mother, that this day we will appear, whether we are listening to a radio show or we're at a fair or you run into someone of importance to you that you have not met in a long time, and or someone new that you accidentally, that you think you ran into him or her. However, not a leaf falls from the tree without the will of God. And if you understand that, anything that's good is a blessing. It's a blessing from Allah, because He, Allah, rules the heavens and the earth with His will. And everything in creation is created by Him. Even in fact that you believe that the snow and the storm and the hurricanes and the rain is something that you look at, you can feel it, but you don't understand it. All of this is the will of God. Yes, God is showing the human being that he, the human being, is motivated and stimulated and evolves with his will. But he gives us a will. We all have a will, and that will you allow to use as you see fit with the mercy of God, because you can't will anything without him allowing you to will. So he wills and he permits. And he permits us as human beings to be able to think for ourselves, to be able to make choices. And so I like to speak about that came to mind. And someone said that Jesus died for our sins. And they want us to believe that, that a man, a human being, that was created by Allah, just like you and I, but instilled in him to be able to bring the word of God to a group of people who have died for our sins. No, that can't be. But Jesus said, for those who have not sinned, cast the first stone. Nor did Jesus cast the first stone. Because we all created to sin. You hear us sometimes, we say, oh Allah, forgive the deceased for their sins and grant them paradise for their good deeds. Yes, we say it all the time because it's true that we do sin. But we don't die. We do not die. Let's wait. The angels are created and they do the will of God. And there's a jinn that has ability to will or to stay in his righteous nature. But then there's the human being. if you look at the animals and the insects and the birds, you would understand they also was created. Everything that got life in it has been created. The heavens and the earth, the moon, the stars, the sun, the land, the seven seas. All of that's been created by God. But he made us, human beings, the crown of creation. My God, we're the crown of creation. How is he going to kill off the crown of creation? No, brothers and sisters, don't believe that you're going to die. Because you have to learn how to serve God. And through all his prophets, he has brought you a message. And they have prophesied and tried to make us understand that we have to stay on the straight path. But all those prophets, they're sent to us by God. They are called a slave servant of Allah. They are called a messenger for God, but a prophet to us because they prophesize to us what the past, the present, and the future. But that gift and that knowledge was given to Allah. Don't talk to us in the language that you learn when you learn Spanish or Japanese or Russian or Arabic. No, that's not how he talked to us. But he talks to us through words, the word of God that stimulates you on the outside. It touches your skin and sends a message to the brain cell. But that which you are internally, you are in the image of God because that's in triple darkness. You can't see it, and you don't know what's going on at this second. But Allah controls that, not you. You can affect it by eating the wrong things or doing the wrong things or catching some type of a disease. Yes, these things happen, and man is capable of finding a cure for that disease. But that knowledge comes directly from God. So he's not going to kill us all. There's no ending to the wisdom and knowledge of God. So you will never learn how to be obedient all in this world. Why, this is a temporary world. And if you recognize this is a temporary world, then you'll find yourself doing better. But you have to suffer the bounds of suffering. And you got to struggle in this world to get to the next world. So you evolve, you don't die. But Satan does not like us. He don't believe that we deserve to have that ability to be crown of creation. So he's asked God for permission. And he believes his job is to con you, trick you, make you believe that it's something that is not. And we fall victim many times with that which he controls, that which is not good for you. But that's our trial. He's a mercy to us, Imam Wadisdi Muhammad. I'm a student of Imam Wadisdi Muhammad. I take pride in saying that because I recognize the Imam's ability. Just think about it. We knew nothing about Islam. We knew nothing about serving one God. We was a confused group of people called ourselves Christians. Why? This is a Christian country. Yes, this is a Christian country. Just like if you was born in Saudi Arabia, it's an Islamic country. And there are Christians in Saudi Arabia. And there's other religions. There's idol gods in Saudi Arabia. But they're not the majority. They're the minority. And so is us here in America. We're not the majority in Islam in America. But yet we came to Islam because God moved our nature. Can't say it was our knowledge because we didn't know anything about the Holy Quran, Muhammad's prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We didn't know any of that. All we knew that our parents, who were strong and good providers and instilled in us that we was Christian. And rightfully so, Christian country, you brought up being a Christian. But we're thinkers. We don't realize until we go out on our own that we're capable of thinking on our own. You have to grow to that now. When you was young, you depended on your parents. When you get older, you have to cut that navel cord for the second time. One is a physical navel cord, and the second one, responsibility navel cord, an independent navel cord, do for self navel cord. You have to cut that cord, and now you can blossom. If you study the bird, if the bird stays in the nest too long, the mother kicks it out, and you better fly, or you're a dead bird. So even the birds understand that you have to leave the nest. We as human beings sometimes do not want to leave the nest. But when you reach a certain age in life, you now have to stand on your own 2 feet. The Bible says every tub stands on its own bottom. I like that. Didn't understand it before. But why they say a tub? Why they say a bucket? Why they say a glass of water? Because a tub holds more water. Water in scripture represents knowledge. So you come into more knowledge. And so you have to stand on your own 2 feet. In the final day of judgment, your mother, your father, your siblings, your uncle, your aunt, your cousins, nor your spouse can help you in the final day of judgment. You must be judged of who are you and what did you do in this life. Everything you do is recorded, whether you like it or not. You say, who's recording? Allah? He sends his servants to record what you do. And that recording is the angel. You must believe in the angel. Allah, God, that's all that means, the God. We say Allah short, but we separate those who want to be God. You have many people today thinking they are God. You have people literally taking the life of another human being with a gun because they think they are God. And they have a right to take your life. They understood that killing a human being is a major sin. They'll think twice in shooting that individual. Now, I'm not saying if your life is threatened that you should take the life before your life is taken. But a person waving a knife and you got a gun, there's no way he could be a threat to you. I know they're taught in the academy when you pull that gun, you shoot to kill. And that's the way you are trained. But you have a right to be a sex maniac, but you have sex. You have a right to abuse drugs, but drugs can kill you. You have a right to make these decisions because you're supposed to be rational in your mind. So you can't pull a gun out and knowing you will punish, not just in this world, but in the hereafter, before you get there, you go through a final judgment. And shooting another human being and killing him, now keep in mind, you didn't take him out of here. Nothing dies without the will of God. But God is so merciful that he knows to leave you here brain damaged or have to struggle worse than you have struggled, he removes you from the earth. So that individual thinks he killed. Well, that can't be, because only God gives life and God only takes life. And so death is only the will of God, but you get charged with bad intention. You don't have no will to kill nobody. But your bad intentions of removing that person from the planet is a chastisement to you if it's bad intention, a blessing to him. I know what you're saying. How could that be a blessing? You don't have to suffer like you and I anymore. He or she is gone. And apparently, he was the sacrificed lamb to send a message to you and I. Look how you can die being in the wrong place at the right time. The right time for who? The right time for that perpetrator who has no sense of love for the next human being, who was taught as a youngster how to go out and hunt and kill. So he understands that he is trigger happy. Oh, he wants to pull that trigger. And if you check that individual out, he may be one that was abused when he was coming up. Is it something that is Caucasian killing black folks? Well, where is these black people that's being killed? In their home, in their neighborhood. And where is this Caucasian live? Oh, he don't live in the neighborhood. Never grew up in the neighborhood. So how do he know how to communicate with you? Our brothers talk with their hands, and they make suggestions, and they say words, and that's all it is. Words are suggestions. We understand that because we grew up with it. We understand how their demeanor are. But if you go and get you a weak individual from another part of the state, comes down into your neighborhood, he fears you because of his stature, his anatomy. Well, I thank my sensei. Oh, I love fighting big men and strong men. Because I was taught how to hurt, how to give pain. I was a martial artist. I knew you couldn't put muscles in your throat, your Adam's apple. You can't put muscle in your eye. Nor can you put muscles in your nose, your lip, your ear. And yes, you cannot put muscles in your groin. And so therefore, there's weak things on the body, the toxin. So a martial art has the ability to hurt the biggest. No muscle stops a martial artist, and no stature of a man is intimidated to him. But we was growing up in the inner city. We've been fighting all our lives, and we don't fear anything. So you have to pull a gun for another man to shoot you. Now, today is black-on-black crime. I understand that. Why? Drugs, territory, the understanding of the young men. They got nothing else to do but to do wrong. But I was speaking to a very intelligent, respectful senior of mine. And we talked about this early today. And I was explaining to them at one time in 1918, they knew how many Caucasians was locked up, how many Italians, Irishmen, and so forth and so on. Because they knew that the Italians came over here and the mob was doing things that they never saw. The Irishmen came over here, and they were bootlegging and doing things they never, people here never saw. The Egyptians came over here, and they was pickpocketing. So they came up with the idea, if we don't teach economics, we're going to have a lot of crime in America. So these Caucasians got together and educated the Italians and the Irishmen and the Egyptians and so forth and so on. The person said, well, what about the niggers? No, don't educate them. Let them rob and steal. We'll lock them up. Yes, this happened in 1918. And today, if you ask them how many Caucasians incarcerated, they can't tell you. How many Irish? How many Italians? They can't tell you. Why? They don't keep the record. Well, how many African Americans is incarcerated? They can tell you that. because the jails are full with them. Isn't it amazing there's more Asians in jail incarcerated in the 21st century than there ever been? But they don't tell you those statistics. So it was designed for our children to kill one another. You want to make money? I'll give you an example. Stay up there in Short Hills, you'll make $45,000, $50,000. Come down into the ghetto, you make $80,000. So they want $30,000 or more a year to come into our neighborhood. They fear coming in our neighborhoods because they called it a jungle. So they come in the jungle and they hunt like they were taught how to hunt as youngsters. So they're in our neighborhood killing our children. One out of fear, two just the sensational feeling they get by killing a live animal. That's what they look at us as being live animals. So why we don't have our own policemen, priests in our own neighborhood? You ever thought about that? Oh, that's a racist statement. How could you allow four black men go up the Short Hills in the rich neighborhood and police them? Why, brother, they won't even allow you up there. I don't care how much money they paying. You will not stand over my Jewish son. You will not stand over my Italian son, my Irishman son. Why, brother, you can't even stand over the Portuguese king. They take care of their own neighborhood. But we do not take care of our neighborhood. So they say, but blacks are killing blacks. They don't manufacture anything. Where they get the guns from? Who manufactures the cocaine? We surely don't. Old little Johnny knows how to find that coke. Know who's selling the dope. Somebody is turning their head. Crime represents money. And so we are off the hook. We want to be dope dealers. We want to be pimps. We want to be thugs. We want to rob everyone. Now just think about it. You rob Miss Mary because you're out of your mind. And Miss Mary might have $100. Ah, she hit the number, so she got $1,000 in the house. You get lucky, you'll get your $1,000. So now we rob her, but if she don't tell her where the rest of the money that she doesn't have, they kill her animal, right? Well, why don't they just go just a few miles up the street, the Short Hill? Miss Goldberg, she got $100,000 in the house. Mr. Goldberg has $300,000 worth of precious jewels in the house. You won't go up there. And the reason you won't go up there is because they'll kick every door down in the ghetto to find you. They even will pay and put a price on your head. Anybody that needs $30,000, bring me the suspect. Bring me the perpetrator. So you won't go up the street, but you'll go around the corner. Something is wrong with your mind. Allah says in the Holy Quran, I will not change the people until they change that which is bothering their soul. So you're not going to stop this until you get into the mind of that individual. Because the mind is a hell of a thing to lose. You hear the statement. When you lose your mind and take on an evil mind, then you do evil things. But did somebody ever tell that bird, that crick, that bird, that you're the crown of creation? Anybody told them that God has written your destiny is to be successful in life? Did anybody ever tell him who he is as a human being? Well, none of them are going to tell him that. You have to do it. But what do? We get in our churches and we preach the gospel and then we ride up the sunset. Some of us stay in the same neighborhood, but we don't mingle with them. We get in our masjids and we teach the religion. old Johnny right outside the door killing everybody. You don't even talk about it. Afraid you might lose Johnny that puts some money in the pot. Because Johnny makes money. While you go work for McDonald's and make $400 or $500 a week, he makes that an hour. So it's hard to stop old Johnny or old Kareem who's on the corner doing wrong. So what is missing? Well, there's no way you can understand God until you understand yourself. Read, Ikra. Read, Muhammad. Read in the name of your Lord that created. Created what? I have no piece of paper, Lord, to read. Read the creation. Read how you got here. Look in the mirror and see that you create those eyes, that nose, a pair of lips. Did you create that? Or you think mama created? Who created that, son? Who gave you the air to breathe? There is a God. And God is all through the earth, smiles upon his greatest creation, you as a human being. Now, once he comes into that knowledge, he takes on another mindset. Oh, he gets up in the morning. Thank God that he's awake. He goes out and try to find some type of employment. But we who say we are free from that satanic way of acting, have we created a way for John or Kareem or Muhammad that's in the streets? Did we create any type of industry where we can educate our own children? Have you thought about that? Well, you're not going to do that as individuals. You have to do that collectively as a community. As a community, go study that app. They can move branches, but there's 1,000 of them helping one another, building their tunnels and their way to get around the earth. God is saying you're greater than the ant. Look how the lion runs, and as long as he got that strong jaw and his teeth don't hurt, he's able to hunt and eat. Will Allah then make a way for you and I as human beings? Yes, we could be an animal. We could crawl on all fours. But what makes us different than that dog? You say you don't like the dog, but the dog loves his family, his master. Do you love your master, which is Allah? That dog has sensitivity for his master. Do you love your master, God? That dog will protect his master. Do you protect God's name? Oh, yes, that dog will give his life for that master. Would you give your life for Allah? Would you give your life for God? So what makes you greater than the dog who has all the sensitivity that you say you have? Are you paying attention? The dog doesn't lose his hearing. He pays attention. Come on that property. He could be asleep. He awakened immediately. He didn't give up on his hearing. Did you hear what I said, son? Oh, Dad, what did you say? Boy, you wasn't listening. They're not paying attention. You have to pay attention. What makes you different than an animal? What makes you different than a dog? When God has given those creations the same ability and affection and love and a community and working together, you don't see the dogs trying to be with the pigs. You don't see the pigs trying to be with the horses. You don't see the horses trying to run around with the donkey. They all stay in their habitat. They all understand that it was created by God, and yet you have a human intellect. Yes, you can stand upright. They cannot stand upright. That's what makes you crown of creation. Gave his human being the right to make a choice. All did he trust his human being with a power that Satan don't want you to have. You can choose God or you can reject God. And Allah says, my righteous human being, Satan, you will not be able to trick him. So I love the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. May Allah be pleased with him and grant him paradise, because he taught us not to love the death. Talking about the white man. He was talking about that gene in you called jinn. Why do we love the devil? Because he gives us nothing. Nothing, brothers and sisters. If you don't get up and go get it, you won't have it. It is so difficult to make us come together as a community. The people of status is laughing at us. We are running around the country begging. Begging shapes and men of stature in the foreign countries to give us. Give us what? Didn't Allah give us something greater than most of them have, and they've been born in the religion of Islam? But how is that, that you have the knowledge of the Quran and you're killing innocent people? Forget the ones we may call Satan or the big Satan, the brothers in the street. But most of them don't know. I'm talking about the ones over in the foreign country killing men and women and children, raping little girls. This is not Islam. So we can't do nothing about it. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, walk for your brother that which you walk for yourself. And we live on that principle right now today. Oh, yes, we do. We love our brothers. Now, we get angry with each other. And sometimes we take more than 3 days to talk to each other. But we ain't trying to kill each other. Why, we ain't trying to kill us back in the 60s. We'll whoop that ass, sir. Yes, you don't say the right thing, or you come against us, that's your ass, sir. But we ain't killing each other. There was no such thing as black-on-black crime. But no white man will not touch us. No Caucasian can put his hands on us. We will go to war. Because that's what we was taught, to love each other. So Muhammad the Prophet said, we are a mirror of one another. Flaws in that mirror that's not there, it's there. There's a star. You want to see it. Line up the mirror. Thousands of them. Put one in the back, one in the front. You're going to see the same thing. I don't care if you walk past each one. It's not going to change. That's what he's saying, how we should be as human beings. The Italian bleed just like we bleed. The Irishmen, they get sick just like we get sick. They get struck with cancer, we get struck with cancer. Every human being, if you don't put a title on them, is the children of Adam. Some of my preachers say that the children should return to their father. And that is a bound statement. But we get it wrong because we think God is our father. No, he's our creator. Adam is the human being's father. Adam, that's our father. Until we study Adam, we will not know who we are. We get confused with our African-American father, our Native American father, our Caucasian father, our Latino father, whatever walk of life, we get confused. We stop there. But if you go back to the root, of the Father that God breathed into him, some of his spirit, then you will recognize who you are, the crown of creation. And once you come into that mindset, as he meant, what a theme, Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, the Grand of Paradise, said, we have a divine mind. How could you want to intoxicate a divine mind? Oh, I got it. I didn't want to intoxicate it when I was young. I know now, I know my mind is divine. You are not going to get me high off of no man's substance that can't keep me up there. Get high off the word of God and you won't come down. And if you keep studying, you would evolve. Study what? Study the creation, Muhammad. The prophet of God, study. We say the prophet of God, but he's a prophet to us. He was the messenger of God. Study, he began to read. He wasn't reading words. He was reading what he recognized in creation, the sun, the moon, the stars. Oh, did he read? Then God gave him revelation. He can't take credit. No, Muhammad the prophet, prayers and peace upon him, cannot take credit of the Holy Quran. Get that out of your mind. Tell them, Muhammad, Allah says, that you are a mortal human being just like them. If he's just like you, how can he take credit for the Quran? The Quran is Allah. He was a messenger. If I give you $1 billion to take it to Mrs. Mary, you can only get credit to be the messenger. That ain't your money. You didn't create it. You didn't make it. You was a messenger. He was a messenger of God. All the prophets, they brought us what? Revelation. So they can't take credit. They got to give credit to God. So Muhammad, the prophet, prayers peace be upon him, operated for 23 years on writing the word of God. Can nobody say those words was put in a book before? Not to say it wasn't here. Your nature is the Quran. It was here from the beginning. But it came into black and white in a book from the will of God through his messenger who recited 23 years of the juice of the Quran, the ayats of the Quran, the surahs of the Quran. He cannot take credit for that. He only told you what God says. He didn't interpret it for you. Some men give you the footnotes of the Quran. Man, what is he, Muhammad says, stay away from the footnotes. You just, if your heart is right, he will give you understanding of the connection. Whoa! You mean God will come to me directly? Yes! If your heart is pure. If you're chucking and diving, you won't get it. You cannot learn the right side of that Quran in Arabic. Let's get it straight. It's not Arabic. I've seen many Arabic brothers that's off because they read in Arabic. And they read a whole lot of books. And there's some great books out there. The Hadith that gives you the way of the Muhammad the Prophet. The authentic Hadith. Bukhari is one of the best. And it tells us things that we can read, but your nature will take. Because Satan can duplicate anything. Yes, he can write the Quran and make you think that's Allah's word. But your nature will crawl. Not your intellect. Your nature will say something's wrong with this book. And then get it out. But when it's pleasing to you, you know how you meet your husband. Now, you met a lot of men. But they just wasn't right. But this one man is just pleasing to your soul. Ah, he's the one. Well, that's the way it is when you read the words of God. If you really mean it, he gives you understanding. And that which you don't understand, you let it go over your head. You say, I ain't interested in that. Something ain't right with this. Brother, don't come in the masjid unless you step with your right foot first. This is that something. As if something's wrong with the left foot. Brother, don't shake my hand with the left hand. Give me the right hand. Isn't that something? Brother, don't talk about God in the bathroom. This is the bathroom. This is where Satan dwells. To you and your jugular vein, you might as well take that out. Because if he's close to me in my jugular vein, how am I going to the bathroom without a jugular vein? Because the jugular vein is the lifeline to keep me alive. They can cut anything, but they say they ain't touch this jugular vein. So you make it live. So the jugular vein is important. So why ain't God say any other vein? He said, I'm closer to you than your jugular vein. So that means with you at all times. Do you talk to him? Oh, I got to go in the masjid. And I got to bow my head in the masjid. I don't get the blessing unless I'm in the masjid. Well, in the Quran it says, my whole earth is a masjid. So what part are you talking about? Wherever you make sajda prayer, that's your masjid. So something is wrong with these understandings, but most of us does not care. We don't want to care about what we read, or we cannot connect those dots. You got to connect the dots. Don't let nobody tell you your left foot is worse than your right foot. Your left hand is worse than your right hand. Don't let nobody bring that to you, brothers and sisters. That Allah didn't create nothing wrong. Nothing whatsoever. So you don't have to let somebody put you back into slavery. How could you want to intoxicate the crown of creation? You should be careful what you put in your system. Even the system is say this foul stuff, and that's why it's all confused. Because certain things should not go in your body. You should what you eat. And this thing about staying away from meat, well, why did God create animals or meat for you? I don't read that in the Quran. If it ain't in the Quran, it ain't right. Oh, I'm a vegetarian. I ain't saying you don't have to be a vegetarian. But my God, don't look at someone else that can enjoy meat, too. You can take the right medicine. Too much of it ain't good for you. I ain't say eat meat every day. So I don't see where God has condoned meat. Yes, I'm sorry, he condoned meat. But he didn't say that meat was no good for us. He doesn't tell us. He tells us what to stay away from in the Quran, and you should obey the Quran. Yes, herbs, and you're dying. He says, took herbs before you die. If you eat herbs, herbs are good for you. It comes from the ground. But if you got all that stuff in you and you're dying, then man is scientific by the will of God to cure some disease that death is basically given to you by man. All of these are simple common sense. And if we don't use our simple common sense, we're not going to make it. So common sense says, if we come together in unity, if we come together as one, we are wealthy, not rich. Jay-Z is rich. Bill Cosby is rich. I'm talking about wealthy. You want to be wealthy? Come together as a community. And stop trying to be everybody. You want to be everybody. You want to be the school teacher, the principal, the doctor, the lawyer, the engineer. And you ain't went to school for nothing. You might be gifted in expressing what God says, and that's a gift. But that don't make you an engineer. And you could be a hafiz, a man of knowledge of the Quran. But let him tried to fly that jet. Tell you, I never flew a plane in my life, but I can read the Quran without even looking at it. Or being on my guy and in my head. You're going to get off that plane. Common sense says you better get off that plane because he can't fly that plane. So how is he going to be our school teacher? How is he going to teach our children?
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Coming together to have one sighting so we don't have no more confusion. Now, there's more than 50, man, but that's a big start. Each one of them represents at least 1,000 followers. Collectively, you're talking about 50,000 people for it. I'm not stopping you for holding your head. Go ahead. Have your 50 people, 100 people. But we're looking for 50, 60,000. So we can send a message to the state of New
Jersey. Brother Mirage, I think we have a guest on from Las Vegas.
Yes.
Okay, whenever you want them, they're here.
All right, I'm going to close out on this, and then I'd like to hear that guest.
Yes, sir.
If we come together for Hit a Picture, we ran a show, getting ready to run another one in February and another one, so we don't have to beg nobody. But if we came together, we would be able to build our schools and our hospitals and et cetera. I will show you how we can get to the seventh picture. But you have to trust in God. Stop saying what we can't do. Stop thinking small. Evolve the way God wants us to evolve and engage into the world. If you think big, collectively, God will give it to you. Remember what Steve Muhammad said? He sent the imams to go see if it's going to rain on it. And they came back and said, yeah, the weather is not going to be too good. He said, Allah, look at the ability that God gave man, that he can tell you whether it's going to rain. So what are we going to do, brother, man? He said, how many think going to come out there? Oh, quite a bit. He said, well, let's go out there and maybe Allah will hold back the rain. I screamed. Because some brothers will tell you, the show up for Essex County and Union County, that we've done it 3 times in a row. It's going to rain. Matter of fact, be honest with you, 5 times in a row. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. And it didn't rain. But our last one, it did rain. But look at the thousands of people came out after it rained. More than we ever had in the history of dead. Over 20,000 people walked through that door. So we're going for 60,000. And we believe we can do it. Now, you can join us, or you don't have to join. But we ain't waiting for you. And we surely ain't begging. But our goal is to get to the millions of dollars by inviting the closest thing to our religion is Christianity. Amen. What is the Muhammad said, the extension of the Bible is the Holy Quran. Yeah, isn't that amazing? Extension. So God has took us from Christianity into Islam. First through Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. But we all got one thing in common. We are Muslims, the children of Adam. They say the children should revert back to their father. We say the children should revert back to their fitra. Well, that's Adam. He's our nature. He's the first nature of the human being. So we all got it right, but they ain't connected now. So we're coming back together, and we're joining with our Christian brothers and sisters, and we're putting together economics. I sat down yesterday with the Christians And before they count the money, they say, is everybody paid? I said, excuse me? She says, is everybody paid? Because I don't want my name to be a part of anything that one didn't get paid. I said, where you been? You will get more blessings when you think about the little people. That's what it's about, brothers and sisters, is to give back. That's what Allah has given up. And we're moving. It took us close to 7 years to get here, but I ain't crying. Seven heavens, seven prophets that came to us, Adam, Jesus, Joseph, Esau, Aaron, Moses, they all came to us. All of them came to us to reach the seven heavens, the seven prophets, and the Khalifa was born. Took seven prophets to get it right. And so revelation was revealed by Muhammad the prophet, who represented all the prophets from his father Adam, into what we have today. We will reshape the whole world with the spirit of the Quran. That's what we have. We have the spirit, inshallah. Thank you. And I'd like to take that caller now, Brother Alfred, if you would be so kind. Are you there, Brother Alfred?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Is this Jacqueline Smith?
Yes, this is Jacqueline Smith. How are you?
I am very well. As-salamu alaykum to you. Peace be unto you. And I talked about you in the last show we had. And if you would be so kind, is I was very impressed that you have called me. And you was troubled with things that, thank Allah, that I was able to give you some word of advice. But you wrote two letters. And if you would give me 1 minute of why you wrote the first letter, and then after you tell the listening audience, I want you to read that letter. What motivated you or inspired you to want to write the first letter?
I am a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. And I've seen what's been going on across the country. The marches, the continued murdering of our black young men, our black and brown young men, and nothing was being done about it. And at one time, the church was the safe haven. The church was the place that you looked to for leadership and guidance. And I didn't see our ministers. I haven't heard our voices. I didn't see it in the pulpit, not even discussed. And that began to trouble me very much, and my soul just became very heavy. And one day as I was saying my morning prayers, it just came down on me very hard to the point of tears. And I said, I've got to write the letter. And that's how I became to write the first letter, was why come I don't see the Christians out here marching? That's what Jesus was about, the downtrodden, the underdog, the seeking justice. You know, that was Jesus's message, and I didn't see us out there, and particularly the ministers of my denomination, and it troubled me. So that's how I came to write the letter to the pastor.
Would you be so kind to read that letter? I tried to put you on last week. I said when I read that letter, I was very impressed, and I just wanted, this is an Islamic station, but it's also a Muslim station, meaning people in all walks of life, it's Muslim, and that's why it just warms my heart to give one like yourself an opportunity to introduce your mind. And so the brothers and sisters can understand that we have people in other religions that have nothing else to do but give them of man. So read your letter, my sister, please.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Can you read your letter for us?
Yes, I can. It says, "Dear Pastor, I'm trying to see you. I'm having a very hard time being a Christian right now, and I need to see you. I'm looking for you also, Brother Imam.
Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you very loud and clear. Brother Imam, you said?
Yes.
I can't hear you. Brother Alfred, did we lose her?
I'm right here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. You're going out for some reason.
Do I sound clear? Can you hear me?
I can hear you real clear now. You left off at Brother Imam.
Okay. I said, "I'm looking for you also, Brother Imams and Rabbis. I'm not looking for you at the church or at the mosque or the synagogue. No, I'm looking for you on the streets of Ferguson, Missouri, Chicago, Illinois, Baltimore, Maryland, Los Angeles and Oakland, California, Washington, D.C., Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Washington, New York, Rhode Island, Maine, Colorado, Massachusetts. But I can't see you, Pastor. You see, Pastor, I know that every religion on the face of this earth was begun from an oppressed people who said, 'We want our freedom and we want it now.' And all they wanted was the God-given right to worship as they please." Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Loud and clear.
Okay. "And all they wanted was the God-given right to worship as they pleased. And for that right, they were willing to, and many did die. Pastor, have you so soon forgotten about the Exodus, Jesus, Paul in jail, John and James killed by the sword? Have you so soon forgotten Megger, Malcolm, and Martin? Where are you, Pastor? I can't see you. All across this world, we have a generation of people who are rising up against the tyranny of their oppressors. And here in America, we have an uprising of a people who are fighting against an unjust justice system that was never intended to work for them in the first place. And I know that as you look at your television, you see people of all colors standing with them, but I can't see you. Pastor, have you so soon forgotten that this century's latest civil rights movement was started in 1955 by a group of black Christian ministers? Every post that's line was 100 deep. People could become somewhere. God. People.
You're breaking up.
Can you hear?
So
hello?
Now we can hear you. It's breaking up in the last three words.
Okay. The people we come from, can you hear me?
Yes.
The people we come from were guided, instructed, and organized by the people of faith. Black folk, Latino folk, and white folk all stood face to face with the oppressor and said, 'Give these people their freedom and give it to them right now.' These people are out here are so full of energy, lost and looting, but who is there to guide them? I can't see you, Pastor. Jesus looked upon the multitude and had compassion on them because they were as lost sheep with no one to lead them. Pastor, this generation of people will not listen to empty prayers that have no courage and no leadership behind them. Old leadership has passed away. We need a Joshua and the Caleb in the land. Anytime you go up against your oppressor who is armed with machine guns and tanks and all you have is a water bottle or a rock, You are fighting for a cause for which you are willing to die. Just as the Jewish people rose up against their Roman oppressors and Muslims rose up, there is an uprising in this land. As the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, there are giants in this land. But these young people are not afraid of no giants. We need a David in the land, Pastor. Pastor, I don't know or care what conference you may be in or who signs your paycheck, but I do know that you were ordained into the ministry for such a time as this. And how dare you not stand with God's children, linked arm in arm, preaching at the top of your voice, in the name of the Most High God, no longer will we stand by and allow these white policemen to kill our black and brown children. We want justice in this country for our people, and we want it right now. Thus said the Lord, a cry is heard in Ramah, wailing, bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children who are gone. Rachel is now Sabrina Fulton, Leslie McSpadden, Samaria Rice, and Esau Garner. They're weeping, Pastor. Can you hear? How beautiful would the day be in the eyes of our God when busload upon busload of black and white Seventh-day Adventist pastors would arrive and rally in Ferguson, Missouri, marching, leading the charge, and guiding our young people. We need a dialogue, Pastor. We need meaningful protest. We as a people need to shut some things down. We need to redirect our purchasing power to black-owned businesses. America has got to come to the table with us in an open and transparent dialogue about these racist police forces it has created. The justice system is broken, Pastor, just as my people are broken. Can't you see it? Anything broken either has got to be fixed or thrown away. A system that is not fixed will continue to throw our people away, and I'm so hurt from seeing that. Where are you, Pastor? I need you. I'm only speaking for myself, but, Pastor, I need to see you.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, I am very fond of this young lady. This lady has been my assistant for close to 20 years. She came into the boxing world and asked me would I use her talent. She has the gift of economics and gift of academics. I call her a frustrated attorney that wants to do so much for the world, but she chose the sport of boxing. And I can honestly say that I have never taught on her. I have only conducted myself as an upright Muslim, and I conduct myself as someone that anytime she picked up the phone to have trouble with part of scripture, I would try to help her. And she always thanked me. I never knew she would write a letter like that. I know she writes excellent letters because I've sent letters around the world to so many people. But she's always been a Seventh-day Adventist, and she did a lot of her work behind the door because she lives in Las Vegas, Nevada, and my office was in New Jersey. The time we would see each other is when I did the major fights in Las Vegas, Nevada. And she would tell me how proud she was the way I operated and the way I've done things in the boxing world. So, Jacqueline, I think that what you are searching for is what many people out there is searching for, the truth. And how do you feel after writing such a letter?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you very well.
I felt compelled that I had to write the letter. I was only discouraged that I didn't hear back from my pastor. And actually, I sent the letter to 30-something different seven energy clusters. Because, again,
you're breaking up. You sent it to 30 different passes throughout the country.
Yes, from the top of the country to the bottom. So, and I haven't heard from any of them. I hadn't heard anything, and that was very disheartening, but it was very cleansing for me to write the letter because it was heavy.
Well, sometimes one needs a shoulder, sometimes one needs one to listen, and surely writing, they say the ink of the scholar is greater than the mighty of the sword, and I believe that pen has penetrated. Very rare when one wants to open up a can of worms. I'm not here to discourage you on your belief. We in Imams will tell you that we, the believers of the Holy Quran, says that if you Jewish people, Christian people, or Sabbath people who believe in one God in the hereafter, that there will be no burden on your soul in the final day of judgment. Meaning, be a good Christian, be a good Jew, and whatever you believe in, be good in that. That's what Allah says. And all of you have studied most of all the prophets that were sent to us. And I say that the Christians pretty much stopped at Jesus. And the Jews went as far as Abraham. But when the last one, so they feel you have to be in Islam to learn about the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, which is the seal of all prophets. But I'm going to quote you what we say God says. Come you believers and be Muslim. Isn't that amazing? God didn't say, come you believers into Islam. He said, come you believers and be Muslim. Because you already believe. But if you just learn that you are Muslim in your nature, if that can come into your intellectual mind, then you will learn about the seal of the prophet. And once you learn the seal of the prophet, you will be more obedient to God. And all those things that you are struggling with, that we all struggle, you got to understand, we thought Jesus was God also. We struggle with thinking that Farad, W.D. Farad, was God. We struggled through that. But in 1975, we came into the understanding that neither one was God. Even Abraham, who was called our second father in life, the first father is your father, biological, is Adam. But Abraham left his religion with his father, which was idol God. He was idol worship, paganism. That was his religion. The son did not accept it and went searching for God. And the story goes on that he thought the sun to its set, the moon to its set, the stars into his set, and that's when he fell to his knees and realized the one that created the moon, the star, and the sun is God. So they called him the second father. And that means he came into the knowledge of God with no man teaching him, leaving from one physical sense of the word to knowing that God is not physical. Well, same way we're coming out of Christianity, the same way of trying to be what you should be in life, you got to understand that when you look around the world, and I think you have come to it because I've heard you say it, how could God die for our sins? Why would God have to die? God can't die. So that got you to start thinking. And that's how you come into knowledge, when something don't fit your nature. But one thing I have to say, what made me gravitate to you, is to hear you cry with a burden that why am I upset for religion that I've been in all my life? Not so much the religion per se as those who represent the religion. They're not saying things that make sense to you. Well, that's only when you wake up in the morning out of a deep sleep and the sun hits your eyes, you rub it. You quench it. You look and you ain't open your eyes wide because the sun is like blinding you. Well, that's the way knowledge is. When you come into knowledge, it's like coming out the womb for the first time. And you're seeing things around you never saw before. But as a baby, you are curious. You want to know. You want to know, what is this? And you hear your mother talk to you, but you can't figure it out. So you're looking in her mouth because you hear words. And she's trying to mold you and shape you that you are African-American, that you speak English. And if she was Latino, she would do the same thing, and you speak Spanish and so forth and so on. So this is all new to us. Well, that's the way revelation is. When you get revelation, it can be so devastating, as the Bible says, the house shakes, the ceiling shakes, the walls shake, the floor shakes, because that's a picture that they draw for you. But it means your soul is shaking. Your head is shaking. That's what makes you cry. Your knees are knocking. Your feet feel like you can't walk. Yes, that's the house they're talking about. So in Revelation, God gives you a parable and gives you a perception. But he knows you're intelligent to figure it out. That's why he says, study and read. You never stop educating your mind to grow in life. But I want to tell you this, Jacqueline. And you know I have a great love for you. And you can bear witness if I say something wrong, you can intervene. When I saw you, I said, that's my wife. You're a gorgeous specimen of a human being. But God told me that you're not going to marry her. And you're not going to be in Vegas to maintain her sanity. So, yes, that's your wife from the neck up. And from the neck up, you have realized that my Islamic way of peace and my Muslim nature manifest for all these years in your presence. And all I was doing is showing you how there's 1,500,000,000 Muslims in the world is a mirror of me. When you see me, you see the Muslim. So I'm going to tell this story. When I was honored by the Imam Kareem as Masjid, and I was the keynote speaker in California, and he's the oldest Imam of our community. And Hassan, you came to my suite dressed in a beautiful black leather suit, but your dress was kind of high. And I said, okay, I'll meet you downstairs. And you came in from Las Vegas, and you knocking on my door and opened the door, and you said, why didn't you tell me, Murad? All them got long gowns on. Oh, my God, I can't go down there like that. And nobody knew what you had in your subconscious mind, what they told you about our sisters and our brothers and how we rule the female and they like robots. This is what's taught in your walk of life. So you didn't want to be out of place. And I said, Jacqueline, you go downstairs. You dressed the way you thought you needed to be dressed. and they're going to accept you because you are another human being. But make a long story short, it brought joy to my heart. You said, oh, my God, I didn't know the Muslims treat you like this. It feels like a family reunion. I mean, you couldn't have used a better metaphor. A family is like coming home to us. And from the minister's, the imam's wife, to all them sisters, they didn't care what you had on. They saw you as a human being. And that's what we were taught by Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace upon you, upon him. And you remember what it said, Muhammad represented that to us, that your neighbor is important. That's what made you important. Because of my power, and you saw that I had figures in the palm of my hand. I was bringing hundreds of million dollars in way of pay-per-view. You witnessed me making deals for $20 million, $30 million. I was in the presidential suite. I was in Michael Jackson's bungalow, my own butler, my own maid, even when you met me. I remember the question you asked me because my wife walked out the door and my suite looked like a football field. And you said, would she leave you here with me? I'll never forget that. And I said, yes, my wife trusts me. And she had her little walkie-talkie, so I know where she's at all times. And that's how we met. And from that day, I saw who you were, and you became my public relations while we went around the world. But I want you to share some, because a lot of people think I fabricate, and I embellish things. And sometimes I do. But when I talk this religion, I try to give it as straight as I can be. I say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And I want mean that I say things with God's name, the merciful, then the fact of the merciful Redeemer. But I remember we created a website. And I wanted people to call me about boxing. But they didn't call me about boxing. And out of those hundreds of calls, emails we got in, two stands out. And I want you to say it in your words. One was a Jewish lady that was dying, and the family emailed me. And the second one was a Navy that when the ships went down in the sea, and he thought he was dying, and he came up and call and email me. You remember those two emails? Deborah? Are you there? Well, I don't know what happened to Jacqueline, but I guess I have to tell it. So he used to call me and say, okay, you got to answer this, Murad. You got to answer this. And I enjoy answering what I'm doing on the radio today. And we got a call from a Jewish family. He said, Mr. Muhammad, we understand you're a religious man. And we wonder sometimes, are you Jewish or are you Christian? Because the way you speak. I said, how can I help you? She says, my mother is dying, but she won't leave the house. I said, well, why would she not leave the house? She feels that she's dying, she might as well lay here and die. I said, your mother there? She said, yes. Jacqueline and I was on the phone. I said, Mrs. Goldberg, I understand you will not leave the house. She said, well, no, Mr. Muhammad. We enjoy your crusade and on the internet. And no, I feel that this is my home and I should die here. I said, that's a sin. You ain't God. You can't give up on life. And I gave her an understanding what death was about. You don't die. Only die when God tells you you're not going to live in this world no more. So after about 10 minutes and converting with her, we got another email about 2 months later from the same people. So she read me the email. She said, can you tell Mr. Muhammad that my mother went to 5 foreign countries? She enjoyed herself. And before she passed away, tell Mr. Muhammad, thank you. And she died the other day. Now, that's what's touching to me, read me the letter. And then this gentleman, when the ships went down overseas, he was down there drowning. Some kind of way, he made it to up from drowning all these dead bodies he had to go through to get out of there. And he saw the American flag. So he wrote me a letter and asked me how should he feel about that. And I remember very distinctly, I wrote him back. And I said, first of all, you should thank God. I don't know if you're Cajun, Asian, black or white. You're a human being. And the idea you went back into that seat to get your brothers or sisters that was in there, you're bringing up deceased bodies. I said, that goes down in my religion. We call it Barakat. You will receive your reward for your outstanding achievement in doing what you didn't have to do. Now, brothers and sisters, I get hundreds of letters like that, and I have to answer because Jackie always made sure I would answer. But more important, I also get nude pictures. And she would call me on my internet because I always look through high. And she'd say, well, you got this one new, this one new, this one new, this one new. I said, send it to me. She said, oh, no, I ain't sending it to you. I said, well, Jack, at least let me see who's sending these kind of pictures. She said, oh, no, she would delete that, delete that, delete that. So it never got to me. Now, that's going on years. But I would thank her. Because here's a female protecting my virtue. Maybe she thought I was going to get weak or something. But we had such a beautiful relationship. And I gave her a Quran. And she read the Quran like any lawyer would do. But not like she's reading it now. And I'm not saying that she's going to convert. Convert to what? She's already Muslim. You mean come into the knowledge that her nature's a Muslim? May Allah reward her. But this is what communication does when you communicate with people. Brothers and sisters, I can tell you thousands of stories of where I've been and things I have done in Mexico and Venezuela. They call me a prophet. That disturbs me. I'm no prophet. You got to change those words. But they're amazed of how in that lifestyle on that level, dealing with country, coming in caravans, motorcycle escort, bringing me in, lieutenants, captains, jumping to attention from the government of the country. Yes, I just got a call today from a brother named Ali. Ali was with me in Dubai. Oh, was he a beautiful Muslim. Remind me of my brother Musa Shaheed. I never knew this brother from Philadelphia. He said he'd been looking for me for 2 years, just called and said, Brother Rod, tell everybody about it, because he was over there when I asked for that $1 billion. He was right there. He couldn't believe that I come over there asking for $1 billion. How you ask for a trillionaire to give you a couple million? And you a trillionaire. Give me a billion. But I didn't want it for myself. I wanted to spread Islam throughout the world on national TV. Because you ain't on national TV, who all's listening? I know if we reach one, but we can reach millions. But if I tell this community, let's go to TV, they look at me like I'm crazy. As if we can't do it. We'll do it when Allah wills it. I ain't giving up. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And hopefully we can take this streamline through the internet And she's right about Minister Farrakhan. That's our brother. We love Minister Farrakhan. Minister Farrakhan knows that Bible. And that's what most of the preachers don't like. And maybe next week, since we lost Jacqueline, Jacqueline wrote them, the gentleman wrote her back. How he wrote her back is by what he preached last Sunday at the church that shocked her and amazed her. And so she had to address the issue again. I wanted you all to hear that. But Alfred, if we have anybody else on the line, I'll be happy to take any more calls. And once again, I want to thank Jacqueline for that beautiful letter that she wrote to show us what Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was told by Allah. How is your neighbor doing? Have you visited your neighbor? Who is our neighbor? Those who don't look like you, those who have not grown up with you, those who don't have your culture or your language. That's your neighbor. And we should know our neighbor. Anything we got out there on the line?
Sir, we got a caller from 407-702-756. Then we have another caller, 702-817. Oh, that's the same caller. So you can shoot 407. You go ahead. Call it by, I believe, 702-756.
Yes. I'm from Lincoln.
Yes,
this is Brother Ali, John Ali, in Orlando, Florida.
Yeah.
I was listening to the Christian sister in making an appeal to the African-American community in particular to be a part of demonstrating or either just showing morally disgust with the situation that's happening with our young African-American men and men of color. I think you handled it very well, Brother Murad, and giving her the answer, because my as I was listening to her, it is no doubt that our Christian brothers and sisters have failed to realize that oneness in Allah is the key and the answer. If we understand what oneness in Allah means, they've been given an idea, as Imam Waqi Muhammad has told us in the past, that they've been given an idea that Isa, the prophet Isa, is Allah. And that type of idea or influence in the lives of people has caused great misery for all people of color. And when we look at the Sirah of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of God be upon him, the principle of Tawheed, oneness in Allah, was his major message. And as long as we as Muslims hold fast to that, it will bring about the springs of knowledge that we need in order to deal with the wickedness and the confusion that is in society. She mentioned that she wanted to know where the ministers in Christianity and the imams were at. Well, Imam Waqi Muhammad has told us in the past as well that there's only going to be a small amount of people who will stand for the truth and who will fight for the truth. And unfortunately, it's very sad to see our young men being shot down like animals. But we understand what type of society we live in. We live in a very physicalized society, and we live in a society that promotes mainly materialism. And they leave the idea of God separate from the lives of the people. But as Muslims, we have that duty. All religious people, we have that duty to try to bring the human being back to his proper senses and his understanding of who Allah is, what our purpose is, and why are we here. But I don't have anything else to say other than, Brother Murad, I'm very proud of the things that you do, you and Brother Alfred and many other brothers. and I'm working hard in Florida, even though many people don't hear much about Florida, but we have a small community here. But the few of us that are here, we are trying to do our best in order to deal with the situations that are occurring all around the country, because I'm quite sure you are familiar with the Trayvon Martin situation, which happened 4 miles away from Orlando. And just recently, within the last 2 to 3 days, even a 4-year-old, an 11-year-old female, and a 16-year-old female have been shot down in the streets here in Orlando. So the problem is everywhere. And the only way that's going to be resolved is that we bring the message of truth back to the hearts and minds and souls of the people. As Christ Jesus said, "We shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And we know that the language in America is deadly because they speak with a forked tongue. On one hand, they give the truth, but on the other hand, they give the lie. So we have a lot of work to do, and inshallah, we will become the prevailers in this society. We will eventually win through, as Allah has promised. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum, we thank you for those words of wisdom. And we have someone else on the line, Alfie. But Alfred, we have someone else.
There's a 702 person. 702-756-702-817.
If not, going,
give us a closing words and close off for the day.
Well, I want to thank the brother from Florida. I have a sympathy there for Florida. I raised my children in Pensacola, and they came to University of West Florida and University of South Florida. I have family in Orlando because of that reason. My daughter, who's been married when she had her BS degree, and she went back to school for her master, and she thought she couldn't do it because 9 years of marriage and raising her son, she felt she would go and get her master's so she can get her PhD. She's a 4.0. I spoke to her last night. She said, "I got straight A's." I said, "Well, what about this last paper?" And she just got all straight A's. So she did another 4.0. And that's so my children are educated out of Florida. And that's not counting the children I have here in New Jersey. All my children did go to college. I advocate education. But he's right. If we can have more of this type of communication, I want to give credit to Alfred because I didn't ask for this. You know, we was taught one would seek the post, should not get it. And he just invited me on the air. Next thing I know, I was on the air again. Next thing I know, he said he wants you to do 4 more times, and those 2 times I went by, and I'm still on the air. But you have to thank Alfred, because if Alfred didn't give me this opportunity, brother, I don't go out and get radio stations. Exactly, to tell you that I talked to 250 radio stations across the board, whether they Asian, whether they Caucasian, whether they African American, because I sell to humanity. That's what I do. I'm known in 200 foreign countries, 6 continents, and I've been in every newspaper throughout the world, including there in your city and your state. But point is that it's hard to bring us to the level that Imam Wallace B. Muhammad, who taught me personally how to climb this height. I have to give credit where credit is due, because if I do not, then I won't get any more. So with that said, and again, I don't know if you can tell me tonight, that's it, and that will be it. And I'll be thankful for what I have done. I've been asked to do TV. I've been asked to go back on the air. I've been asked to come back into the sport of boxing. But I'm trying to unite this entire East Coast, and then we're coming to get you all out there. if I can bring this Peace Corps together, when I can come on this pen and say, brothers and sisters, last night we just raised $3.5 million. You know Murad Muhammad is back. And I believe I can do that with our community, with our Christian brothers, and all those who want to join us. The quicker they come together, the quicker we can start flying. And I want to do $15 million this coming year, $15 million. Now, we can do much more. It's up to Allah. But our goal is to do $15 million because we can help so many people if we come together and do that. So all you have to do, brothers and sisters, is read the Quran. Read the Quran. I don't care if you read one juice and get it and come back and read some more, read some more. You will see a different lifestyle in your morals, in your foresight and insight is the will of God. You already got sight, but you've got to read, just like Muhammad the prophet, praise peace upon him, read. And then you got to make your prayer. Now, I know we're in America, but try to do your prayer before you go to bed, I mean when you wake up. Because you want to wake up, so you want to leave God with something and ask him to forgive you for what you have done all day. And then you want to awaken and thank God for waking. And then you want to dhikr. The best thoughts, the best thinking is dhikr Allahu Akbar. And after you dhikr, you get up and go to work. You go to work and you will see results. Allah will give you those results beyond your imagination. But you have to believe. So with that said, I want to thank you all. I want to thank the ones that called in, our brother and our sister. I thank you for that wisdom, brother, that you gave us there from Florida. I know there's many more of us out there, but we're coming. And if Alfie stick with me, he going with me. I ain't going to let him outdo me in righteousness. It's like we're in a race, and we're going to show each other that we love each other. I'm going to show my love. He's going to show his love. And collectively, and we can get many more. And one thing the brother said is confirmed. It was only five companions. It wasn't no 5,000. It was five companions. We don't need a whole lot of people. Prophet Jesus, may peace and blessings be upon him, had 13. And our brother Moses had Aaron. Muhammad the prophet had five. So Allah is saying it don't have to be the majority. You may want to see Muhammad say, I'd rather have a Volkswagen of believers than I have a whole truckload of hypocrites. So you're right. It's a thin line up there when you take out that dollar. That pyramid was done by a man with a mastermind. Allah gave him that. And that eye that sits there. The man says, the bottom is why. It says only a few get up there that can see. That's why it's so thin. But down there is why. Allah is saying take a few for yourself and give the rest to them down there that need it. So that's not just money. That's knowledge. Keep a few for yourself and give the rest to those who don't have the knowledge. What's the duty of the civilized man, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad used to say? To teach the uncivilized. So we have to take this word of God to the people because God don't speak language like us. He sends words from the atmosphere to us. May Allah bless each and every one of you. There's a holiday coming up for our Christian brothers. Tell them everything. They feel good when you say that. That don't mean you believe in that's a Christmas. Or you believe that Jesus was born on that day? The Jews know better than that. It's a holiday, but our mothers, our fathers, our sisters, our uncles, you think Allah will say you practiced idol God, you took them a gift for their birthday? Well, I wonder what Muhammad the prophet did for the Christians that took him in when he fled. Why did Muhammad the prophet go to Medina and live amongst them? Look how he raised them. Charity, zakat, is not just money. It's a smile, it's a hug, it's a gift. It's doing what you don't have to do. Let's love the human family. Let's come together as a community. May Allah be with you. May the peace and blessing be upon you. If I said anything to hurt anyone, I apologize. I split any verse or made a mistake. I'm human. If I gave you anything that motivates you to get up and come together as one, as a community, give that credit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-salamu alaykum.